Good afternoon, this is Ketchell Kirk, and we're looking up a few minutes at the end of the week to think about astronomical things. Now, you'll have heard in the news lately, perhaps, that gravitational waves have been detected, finally. And here with me is Professor Amanda Weltman, who's a cosmologist at the University of Cape Town, who's going to explain to us just what is a gravitational wave and why they're so important. Good afternoon, Amanda.
Hi. Okay, so gravitational waves they're a consequence of Einstein's theory of general relativity. Essentially, if you have a very, very large massive body in orbit with another very, very large massive body, so for example, say you have in your backyard two black holes, and they're sort of orbiting each other and dancing around, as they move within each other's orbits, they drag space-time along with them. And as they're moving closer and closer together, they're slightly pushing out space-time a little bit, causing little ripples or perturbations in the fabric of space-time, if I could be so...
I mean, that sounds completely science fiction. Is this something that we need to know about or be concerned about, or is this extremely esoteric science?
So we don't need to be concerned about it. Do we need to know? I don't know that we'd ever need to know about science, but if we want to, then it's one of the most exciting things to understand. So it's really a consequence in some sense of Einstein's E equals mc squared as well as general relativity. So as your two black holes sort of get closer together, they eventually merge and become one. And the total mass of that final black hole is lower than the sum of the original two masses. So you have some energy that sort of escaped through these gravitational waves. Now you might freak out thinking, you know, is the energy of these black holes coming to get me? But it's tiny, tiny amounts of energy. And actually the signal that was announced on the 11th of February was actually seen on the 14th of September. And so on the 14th of September, you and me had this gravitational wave moving through us, and our bodies were being slightly stretched and slightly squashed. But it was so small that you'd be forgiven for not noticing.
So are gravitational waves constantly moving around through the cosmos, through all of space and time, causing these ripples and bulges?
Yes, tiny, tiny, tiny amounts. The largest signal that we could contemplate seeing was from two black holes merging, and you can imagine how large black holes are, how massive they are. We're talking sort of 30 times the mass of our sun for each one, and that signal was still so small that it was like seeing along a 4-kilometer tunnel, you're seeing a slight movement, the diameter of a proton. So it's a very, very tiny, tiny, tiny effect, even for the largest gravitational waves.
So what else could create a gravitational wave big enough for us to detect?
Similar sorts of systems, neutron stars. You need a binary system, those are the strong signals, and neutron stars, black holes, merging.
This tiny, extremely dense
extremely dense, extremely massive objects. So the point is, this is strong field gravity. So it's where gravity is strong as opposed to weak, sort of, in our everyday environment.
And once we know that there's all these gravitational waves out there, what can we do with this knowledge? Is there anything practical, or is this another way of exploring our universe?
We just be triumphant that we were right. And when I say we, I mean quite a collective of people. So Einstein first, when he wrote down general relativity, gravitational waves were a consequence. In the 30s, he convinced himself that he was wrong. In the 50s, several people, including Pirani, convinced him and the rest of the community that actually he was right. And then the question became, can we ever detect these? And then once we started figuring out the technology, the question became, how do we compare the signal to the actual theory? And some substantial work in that direction has come from a South African, Frans Pretorius, who did a lot of the numerical relativity. He revolutionized numerical relativity to the level that we could now compare the theory with the observation. So it's sort of a triumph of science and, you know, 100 years of work towards getting to this one result that is an engineering science sort of mastery.
Science. that we've now detected it, and now I guess we'll be continuing, we'll be building more machines to find more gravitational waves, I expect, in the future?
Yes, so LIGO, the original detector, will continue to run now. That was just the first signal. It's possible that they have more signals in their first run that they haven't announced. And the threshold expected is to get a signal a month. So,
gosh,
this is a whole new sort of window on the universe.
Well, Professor Weltman, thank you very much for telling us about gravitational waves. And now, if Fine Music Radio listeners would like to know more, there is a public talk on at AIMS, the African Institute for Mathematical Sciences in Muizenberg, and that's by Professor Bruce Bassett, on the 24th of February. I believe it's at 6:45. You might want to go online to check that time, and it's free to the public on the 24th of February. If you'd like to listen to this again, it's on www.fmr.co.za/lookingup.